Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Yesterday, I was up in North Jersey in Morris County, New Jersey. I was speaking with the Morris County Women's Republican Club, and we talked all about the upcoming election, obviously, and we talked about the mindset of the voters going into this November. And I've had a few people say to me, well, I don't know if Jack can win. I don't know if a Republican can win New Jersey. It's very similar to the mindset of 2021 when the polls were showing that Murphy had a double-digit lead. But it's also very similar to the mindset in 2023 heading into the presidential election when people in Pennsylvania were saying this election was going to be stolen. This election was going to be stolen, and no matter what, the Democrats were going to cheat. And what did we do to overcome that mindset? What we did was we launched a major campaign to get everybody to understand that this would be the most secure election of our lifetime. And people like Linda Kearns and Chairman Michael Whatley and Laura Trump, Pam Bondi, and other people came into our area. And they spoke and they recruited people to be poll watchers. And it took a while. We changed the mindset of the voters to believe that, yes, we would make sure that this election was secure. And this was not going to be 2020. This is a totally different election. Well, the same mindset shift has to occur now in 2025 in this gubernatorial election. Because Mikey Sherrill is panicking, and that's why she's already dropping mail pieces. And she's turning around and saying, this election is all this is about is Donald Trump. She does not want to make this about the issues. So a friend of mine sent this to me, and the new mail piece from Mikey Sherrill is basically a picture of Trump and Jack looking very, very close together on a phone, almost uncomfortably close together. And it says, I support the president wholeheartedly, and my job is to help him. Jack Cittarelli. Cittarelli is embracing the MAGA wing. Cittarelli is now fully aboard the Trump train, 100% MAGA. This is the mail piece from the Democrat candidate for governor. She's not featured in the ad. There's nothing about policies, nothing. It's two pages, two sides, I mean. And it's just Trump and Jack, and that's it. And then quotes from Jack talking to the president, saying things like, Mr. President, I'm honored. And Jack, and the president saying, Jack, this is the most beautiful endorsement. I wrote every word. Now, I'll tell you a couple things about this now. Number one, Mikey Sherrill is playing with fire here for a couple of reasons. Number one, there are people right now who really do want to know what this woman is about. They do. They want to know what she's about. She's not talking about the issues. That's number one. So Mikey Sherrill is taking for granted that because she's a Democrat, they're just going to automatically vote for her. Except Democrats have been in charge, and Democrats have caused things like electricity prices to go up and lots of other things to go up in New Jersey. Number two, a big reason why Jack did not win in 2021 was because voters didn't think he could win, and you had 400,000 Republicans stayed home in that race. So he only lost by 80,000 votes. That's it. If President Trump comes into, say, Ocean County, New Jersey, or comes into the Wildwoods again, Cape May County, does a rally for Jack, Jack wins. And I'll tell you the reason why. Because you're going to have Republicans who are not necessarily the biggest Trump fans vote for Jack Cittarelli anyway. Because it's not about Trump. It's about the issues. And they've had it with Democrats, and they're sick and tired of the way things are going in the state. And they're watching as affordable housing is being forced upon their communities, and they have to build tens of thousands of units. And they're watching as now the services are going to go up, and crime's going to go up, and the schools have to be, these referendums have to be approved to give more money to the schools, and they're sick and tired of it. But number two is you have voters who are just Trump voters who only vote for Trump and nobody else. And the proof of that is that Lancaster County special election. You remember what happened in that special election right after the election when Trump dominated Lancaster County? Special election, the Republican lost, proving that there are voters out there who vote for Trump and only Trump. Getting them out in the Republican race, in the race for governor this November in New Jersey, is going to be the challenge. You have independent voters who will vote for Jack Cittarelli because they are sick and tired of the Democrats running the state. Remember, you've had a Democrat governor 2 terms now, His Royal Ruggedness King Philip the Unaccountable, 2 terms. Now, you got to go all the way back to 1981. Tom Kaine was the one who broke the record and was elected as a Republican candidate for governor when you had a Republican in the White House, that being Ronald Reagan. Since then, New Jersey votes the opposite party, depending on who's in the White House. But this can change. But my fear is not people saying, oh, Jack's MAGA, and then voting for a Democrat. No. My fear is MAGA only voting for Donald Trump and then staying home in the other elections, as we saw in that special election in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. So actually, what Mikey Sherrill might be doing here is helping Jack get over the finish line, because in this case, she sent it to my friend's daughter, who happens to be a registered Republican, who's away at college. I don't know why she decided to send it to a registered Republican. Maybe the thinking is that there are a certain number of Jersey Republicans who don't like Trump and will then vote for a Democrat. They may just stay home, but I doubt it, because I think the issues are too important to them. Whether or not Jack Cittarelli likes Trump or not is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. It has nothing to do with anything. If anything, I think they might say to themselves, I don't like Trump, but Jack can get more done for me with a Republican in the White House than a Democrat in the White House. As governor, he could probably get more done to lower my energy bills and make the state more affordable. Better to have the help than not have the help. That's how I would view it. Even if I hated Trump's guts, even if I couldn't stand the guy, I would still think all those things. I would think Democrats have cost me a lot of money. They've run the state into the ground. They want to put all their woke policies on my kids in school. Because of them, every town now is getting stuck with all this affordable housing and energy prices are skyrocketing. So even if I hate the guy, I'm still voting for the Republican. And if Trump likes him, then maybe he'll get even more done. It has no bearing in any other way. But you see, if you're Mikey Sherrill, you're a Democrat with no platform, no real ideas, and no issues. So you're trying to distract everybody and trying to make this race all about Donald Trump, because you know that turnout among Democrats is going to be low. So you're hoping that the anti-Trump sentiment within your party is going to override the fact that there's really no enthusiasm around your candidacy. But I think you've got more to gain here. Jack has more to gain by channeling Trump voters. Worked for him in the primary. He won 21 out of 21 counties. Wasn't even close. Wasn't even close with Trump's endorsement. But I was talking to Matt Rooney about this the other day, our buddy Matt Rooney from SaveJersey.com, and of course, host of the Matt Rooney Show. And we both said the same thing. The issue are these Trump voters who tend to vote for him and nobody else. And getting them engaged in this race is going to be the challenge. Insofar as you can do that, then Jack wins, because there's a lot of them out there. There's a whole lot of them, and you do that, and then you move them towards turnout, towards Jack in the election season. Because that's the other thing I mentioned when I was speaking to the Morris County Women's Republican Club yesterday. You have mail-in balloting. You have early voting. Got to embrace them both. You have to. Got to embrace them both. You need to embrace both, because if you don't, you're making a catastrophic error. A catastrophic error here. Part of why we did so well in Pennsylvania in 2024 was to change the mindset of the voters, to not only believe this election was going to be secure so they would vote, but also to embrace early voting, mail-in voting, and early in-person voting too. And this way, the Republican National Committee can go down their list and see that you voted, and then they can move on to somebody else. The mindset is the same. It has to be the same in New Jersey too. You're going to have weeks now where you can get that ballot in early. You got to do it. Because you can't count on election day, there being bad weather, they get a flat tire, you have a meeting that goes late, kids, whatever it is, you got to, you know what I mean? You can't take nothing for granted. Jack only lost by 80,000 votes in the year of a pandemic. He'll be on the show, by the way, on Thursday. I believe it's 3:30. I have to double check that, but he'll be on the show with us again on Thursday. So he's doing his part. The Democrat running for governor right now has no idea what to say. Nothing. She doesn't know what to say. She's running at a time when the voters in the state are actually hoping that there is change. This is a change election. All the metrics are there for that. Now, Virginia is probably going to go the way of the Democrats, sad to say. But if the Republican can pull this off, if Jack can win this race in New Jersey in this November, that'll be good momentum going into the midterm elections. As for New York City, with Zohran Mamdani, Bernie was out there with Mamdani on his Stop the Oligarchy tour. And it was packed with white college-educated liberals in Brooklyn, New York. The hipsters. The hipsters of Park Slope. All going and drink their craft beer, their craft brews after the event. And pay $12 for a beer, I'm sure. And go bowling. They do stuff like that in hipster neighborhoods. They do. Not there's anything wrong with bowling, but I mean, the way they do, it's annoying. I mean, they're not bowlers. It's more of like a hip thing to do versus being on like a bowling team, like a Big Lebowski style. You know the difference. You definitely know the difference, what I'm talking about. Mamdani is probably going to win in New York City, unless the Democrat Party can find a way to stop him. Mamdani is probably going to win because they've got the enthusiasm and they've got the support of the kids, the youngins, the youths. They love them. They love them over there. Bernie comes into Brooklyn, gets everybody all fired up, screaming about the oligarchy and screaming about why the Democrats want to stop Mamdani. You know why they want to stop him? Because if Mamdani wins here, they're going to have other candidates like him around the country. And outside of the cities, this is a losing proposition for the Democrat Party. It really is. It's a losing proposition for them, except in the blue cities. In the blue cities, it works. But here's a little bit from their Stop the Oligarchy tour. This is cut number 11 from over the weekend. Take a listen.
You know, in the old days, I mean, money has always played an enormous role in politics. Nothing new about that. But in the old days, they kind of kept it secret. Right now, you got people like Bill Ackman and others saying openly, front pages of the newspapers, we will spend as much as it takes to defeat this guy. You have the President of the United States working to make it harder for him to get elected. So what are these people, these oligarchs, afraid of? Seems to be a nice guy, dresses very nice, beautiful smile.
Man, that's weird. That's weird. It just got weird. Got awkward.
Unlike me, he's a pleasant guy.
That's true.
What the hell are they afraid of? And what they are afraid of, brothers and sisters, is not
sisters.
Only the question of bringing justice to New York City. You know what they're afraid of? They're afraid of Mr. Mamdani becoming an example to what can happen all over this country.
Bingo. He's right. They are. They are. Remember, they stopped Bernie on the national level three times. 16, 20, and 24. They can't stop Mamdani in New York because he's got the grassroots support. They want to, but they can't. But now they're afraid that this guy is going to shine a light on what the Democrat Party is really about. You know what it's really about? Socialism, communism. And when he says justice, it's things like what Mamdani said earlier today. We need to dramatically decrease the prison population. New York has already gone through decreasing the prison population. We're not talking about some sort of red state that was really tough cracking down on crime. New York's already gone through cashless bail. New York's already gone through their defund the police movement. So what does Mandami mean when he says we're going to release people from prison? What he means is we're going to find more ways to let criminals off back on the streets. That's what he's saying. That's justice. He also talks about taxes, how raising taxes is the best way to Trump-proof New York City, by raising taxes. How having city-owned grocery stores, city-owned buses, these are all his ideas. And you're going to shine a gigantic light on what the Democrat Party really is, heading into midterms, and then heading into the presidential election. So even though the Democrats will have some momentum going into midterms if they win New Jersey and they win Virginia, the momentum is not going to help if Mandami wins in New York, because what this guy represents shines a light on what the Democrat Party is really all about. And I say bring it. I say bring it on. I don't live there, so it's a damn shame, but you get what you get. You don't get upset, as we learned. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria, Venaria Dental. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Stop putting off your perfect smile consultation, your free implant consultation with Dr. Mike, VenariaDental.com. Here is New York City mayoral candidate Zohra Mamdani saying he supports abolishing NYPD's database that identifies thousands of suspected gang members, cut number 12.
Let me ask you about a bunch of different policies just to kind of get you your thinking out there. If city council legislation to abolish the NYPD gang database were to pass, would you support and sign that?
I have supported that proposal. It's one that's supported because of the vast dragnet has meant the inclusion of New Yorkers on the basis of whether they go out late, photos they put on social media, so much of the facts of life of being a young New Yorker, and yet it then becomes a mark of suspicion. And it is a concern of mine that we do not live up to, of all people, Eric Adams's words in 2021, who said that New Yorkers need not choose between safety and justice. Mm-hmm. There's no question that we have to take gangs extremely seriously. And yet I find that a database that includes New Yorkers on such bases is one that doesn't actually do exactly that.
Okay.
But how do you get in the database, out of curiosity? Would it be something that has to do with your involvement in a gang? I don't know. I'm asking. I don't really know the details, but all right, good luck. In Chicago, Democrats continue to play stupid there. Continue to play stupid there as the president keeps saying, I'll help. I'll help. You just have to ask and I'll send in the National Guard and I'll help. But in the meantime, they're going to send in ICE. Border Czar Tom Holman was talking about Chicago, and yeah, we're going to do immigration enforcement. They don't need the permission of anybody when it comes to that. So here's the Border Czar Tom Holman on CNN's State of the Union. This is cut number 8 from this past Sunday. Take a listen.
So should we expect action in Chicago this week?
Absolutely. You can expect action in most sanctuary cities across the country. President Trump's prioritized sanctuary cities because sanctuary cities knowingly release illegal alien public safety threats to the streets every day. That's where the problem is. We don't have that problem in Florida, where every sheriff and chief works for us, right? Or Texas. So we got to send additional resources to the problem areas, which are sanctuary cities.
He also said we're not at war with Chicago because we're at war with the cartels, obviously. So when you talk about war memes, whether you like them or not, you're not going to war with the residents and the business owners. You're going to war with the criminals. And it's a metaphor. It's an analogy. It's not actually meaning that you're going to go and declare war on the city. Like, you're going to start bombing the city. Only Democrats bomb cities. And then you name roads after them, like Wilson Good Boulevard, for example. Cut number 9.
Post, he wrote, quote, the president of the United States is threatening to go to war with an American city. This is not a joke. This is not normal. Donald Trump isn't a strong man. He's a scared man. Illinois won't be intimidated by a wannabe dictator, unquote. Is President Trump planning to go to war in Chicago?
Look, I think it's worth being taken out of context. If I said we're going to war, we're going to war with the criminal cartels. We're going to war with illegal aliens, public safety threats that rape children, that raped citizens, that committed armed robberies, that distribute narcotics that kill Americans. We're at war with the criminal cartels, and Governor Pritzker protects criminal, illegal, alien, public safety threats every day in that state, along with Mayor Johnson. We proved that. The first week of the administration, I went to Chicago. I started an operation there. The first day, we arrested 9 sexual predators, most of them child rapists. We arrested 9 members of TDA. Several of those TDA members had a pistol, an illegal pistol with a switch on it, which makes that pistol fully automatic. We arrested 2 illegal aliens that had a homicide conviction. That was the first day in Chicago. So, you know, President Trump and his administration, yeah, we're at war with the criminal cartels and those who want to murder and rape the American citizens. You're damn right.
So maybe it should.
Well, and yes, as we mentioned earlier on the show, and Justin, thank you for the reminder, ICE already seen in Chicago launching Operation Midway Blitz as of noon today. They don't need permission to be there. The National Guard's a different story, though. And presidents offered the help. Chicago should take them up on it, but or Illinois should, but I doubt that they will. But a Maryland woman told Don Lemon she wants the National Guard there when it comes to D.C., especially after her husband was killed. This is cut number 10.
I've been a resident of Maryland all my life, so I think it would help some.
Why so?
Coming from a family that was broken up, my husband was murdered 2 years ago, and nothing was ever done.
Murdered where? At home?
Mm-hmm, right out in front of her house.
Sorry.
It was a carjacking gone wrong, and they shot him in his head. Killed him instantly, so... But again, our lovely mayor didn't do nothing.
Did they ever find the perpetrator?
Nope.
So you want to see it?
Yes, I want justice.
You want justice, and you want to see, you would like to see the troops here in the National Guard?
Yes.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, and I'm sorry you had that.
And obviously at Baltimore, not D.C., Baltimore. Baltimore, hon. Baltimore. This is the great disconnect between the residents who want something done and the mostly white college-educated lefties who don't care about women like that black woman who is actually dealing with crime and lost her husband to crime. That's a great disconnect in the Democrat Party right now. We'll have our next Politics and Pints announcement in the 5 o'clock hour today. It's going to be a banger. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. This is a... I don't want to give any hints, but I want to say one thing, and that is that I've done Politics and Pints events with this person in the past, and it's kind of become a tradition. There was only one time we didn't do one together, but all the other times we did. I'll explain when I make the announcement, all right? In the meantime, when it comes to your home, protection and peace of mind are paramount. So I want you to reach out to my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding today. Before winter comes, and I know, I hate to say it, as we talked about retractable domes and everything else, but winter is going to come. It's inevitable. So how's that roof doing? Emmons Roofing is the platinum certified contractor for the Owens Corning shingle, the best in the business. Your home will not only have protection and peace of mind, your home will look great, and you will have a lifetime warranty with the Owens Corning shingle. Made in America roofing materials. That's what I'm talking about. Now, I've been a customer and a friend of Emmons now for 12 years in 2 different homes. Matt Kelly's a great guy. The team at Emmons, they are first rate. Emmons even has a kitchen and bathroom remodeling department. And yes, Emmons remodeled the kitchen and bathroom in my old home and did a fantastic job. My wife was thrilled and happy wife, happy life. But when we sold the house, we were able to sell that house for a premium because it had a brand new kitchen and a remodeled bathroom. Whether it is durable lifetime warranty roof, or it is CertainTeed siding, Anderson windows, doors, you name it, Emmons has you covered. And they serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. So the only question I have for you is, what are you waiting for? Reach out to them today for a free estimate and have that roof looked at before winter comes. They'll never tell you you needed a roof if you don't, but if you do, you will get the best in the business, Owens Corning Platinum. Owens Corning Platinum Certified Contractor, That's what you get with Emmons Roofing. And yes, that warranty is transferable to the next owner. So you'll have peace of mind, and so will they, and that makes your home even more attractive. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty. A little bit after 5 today, we'll announce our next Politics and Pints event that's coming up next month. So make sure you tune into that. But tune in, of course, to the entire show. Glad you're here today on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Follow along on X at Rich Zeoli. And, of course, you can follow on our YouTube chat as well, where you'll see the smiling face of one Bill D'Agostino of the Media Research Center. He's on X at @band_Bill. And then Media Research Center does great work battling and exposing the nonsense of the corporate legacy media. Bill, how you doing, my man?
Doing well. How's it going, Rich?
Good. Did you steal any balls from anybody this weekend? Any baseball games?
No. It was a pretty relaxing weekend in. I was a little overworked last week. We had kind of a short staff because a lot of our senior staff were on the MRC cruise. So all hands on deck sort of situation for those of us still here.
Gotcha. Now, where was the MRC cruise? Was that Alaska?
Norway, I believe, this time.
Norway.
Which nice. I don't really know what goes on there, but seems like they had fun. So
when does Bill D'Agostino get the invite to go on the MRC cruise to Norway or wherever they go?
That's a good question, man. I don't know. I'm not sure yet. I don't know. I've been here 7 years. I'm thinking maybe another 7 more, and I'll be wearing my Viking kilt or whatever they wear up there.
You and Brent Bozell can have a beer together on board. Maybe when you
That's
get
right.
your 20 anniversary. All right. Well, listen, it's great to have you. We got a lot to chat about. There was a horrific murder in Charlotte, North Carolina, that has not been getting nearly enough media attention, although it did get some coverage by CBS. So first of all, tell us what happened in case people don't know and kind of set it up for us.
Yes, yeah, so this young woman, a Ukrainian refugee, I believe, actually, was sitting on a bus. There was an African-American man in like a hoodie right behind her, stands up just unprovoked. They don't interact at all in this video, and just stabs her in the neck. And then afterwards, reportedly starts saying, I haven't seen the whole video, but reportedly starts saying, I got that white woman. So, I mean, a lot to dig into there just from the basic facts of it. But yeah, media do not want to touch this one with a 10-foot pole. CNN has been talking about it in the context of like a Republican's pounce story, right? So Brian Stelter came on to discuss it and spends not so much time talking about the actual incident, obviously, but he had dredged up some racist tweets from people with like 60 followers on X. And those then became the focal point of the coverage, obviously. Right. Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. No, of course. And they won't talk about how conservatives will point out, like I played a clip of a black woman who's talking about her husband had been carjacked and murdered in Baltimore. And she hopes the president will send the National Guard in. Like, they won't mention that. They act like we only talk about crime if the victim is white and the perpetrator is black, which, of course, is such a lie. I mean, literally, the people that are protesting against federal law enforcement in these cities are college-educated white liberals.
Right. And beyond that, I mean, that's a complete inversion of their own standard, right? It's basically if the perpetrator is not white and the victim is white, then the corporate media don't talk about it.
Right.
That's the script that they follow. We generally are just kind of concerned about crime writ large, right? I mean, there was a woman in Maryland recently, black woman, killed by an illegal alien that they're, of course, not going to talk about either, right? Despite her being a black person. Oh, my gosh, why do conservatives care? Well, it must be because anti-immigrant sentiment, right? So there's always an angle here for the media to to accuse the right of caring for the wrong reason and then use that to say, well, that's why we're not going to talk about it. So apparently that poor lady's life did not matter because she was killed by the wrong protected class of I don't know what, I guess Democrat client class.
Yeah. Bill D'Agostino's with us. All right, let's play this clip. So CBS actually did cover this story, which surprised you. Cut 21.
Now, a senseless attack on a Ukrainian refugee in this country, 23-year-old Arina Zarutska, was killed last month in Charlotte, North Carolina, on the light rail there in what officials are calling a random attack. New surveillance video shows exactly what happened. We're not going to show you the moment of the stabbing, but a warning, this footage is still disturbing. Skylar Henry reports.
It's just before 10 p.m. on August 22nd, and 34-year-old DeCarlos Brown Jr. is seated on a Charlotte light rail train. Several other people are around him. According to officials, a few minutes later, the train doors open, and 23-year-old Arina Zarutska gets on and takes a seat in front of Brown. She's wearing what appears to be a work uniform, AirPods, and looking at her phone. But then, the unthinkable happens. You see Brown pull out what officials say was a pocket knife. He unfolds it, then stands up behind Zarutska. What we aren't showing you is the moment where Brown then stabs Zarutska several times, then walks away. Here you can see Brown trying to get off the train, and then a few people spring into action, attempting to save Zarutska. She would die from her injuries. Meanwhile, Brown, who has removed his hoodie, waits for the train to stop. Then you see him exit. Officials say it appears that Brown and Zarutska did not know each other, and a motive for the stabbing remains under investigation. According to court documents, Brown has a criminal history dating back to 2011, including robbery with a dangerous weapon and other offenses. Charlotte's mayor, Vi Lyles, released this statement on X, saying in part, "This was a senseless and tragic loss. My prayers remain with her loved ones as they continue to grieve through an unimaginable time." Brown is charged with first-degree murder and remains behind bars. For CBS Mornings, I'm Skylar Henry.
So, Bill D'Agostino, Media Research Center, and thank you for being here as we're talking about this. Horrific story. I just saw a little while ago on Fox News, they were kind of breaking down how there really was not a lot of coverage. So, CBS deserves credit for covering the story, and that's why you pointed this out, because you're surprised that actually anybody in kind of the legacy media did, right?
Yeah, I am. I feel like this might be not a complete turning over of a new leaf, but the beginning of a bit of a recalibration, I think, at CBS. Okay. What with the Skydance purchase, the fact that Barry Weiss is going to be coming on to run their news division. They lost a suit against Trump recently for deceptively editing. Then they got wrapped up in another deceptive editing scandal just last week. Now they've changed their policy and said that, okay, we're not going to do that anymore. We're just going to do completely live interviews or else tape straight to live. They've fallen down and been kicked one too many times by their own stupidity, right? And hopefully this signals, you know, a greater change. But what's interesting about the fact that they're covering this and what they mention in that clip is his long track record of criminal history, right? Because what's the other major news story right now? It's Trump's fascist takeover of Chicago, right, to stop crime. And opposite that is, hey, here's some out of control crime that just happened to not just an American, but a Ukrainian refugee, right? Somebody fleeing from death and destruction comes to America and finds death, right? So it's not exactly kind of narrative that the Democrat Party wants out there right now as they're protesting Trump's federalizing of police in Chicago.
Real quick, for those who don't know, Bill, what is the significance of Barry Weiss running the news division at CBS?
So Barry Weiss is by no means a conservative. She is a liberal journalist who wrote a pretty lengthy resignation letter when she left the Times, the New York Times, who she was writing for a number of years. But what's scary about her to the kind of activist journalist that you might find at CBS is She is very much interested in actually doing news, like actually reporting, actually doing her job, essentially. And so that's, you know, look, if you're getting into news to basically just affect political outcomes that benefit the Democratic Party, she's not somebody that you want as your boss. And so that's, you know, it's not exactly a win for conservatives, but it's definitely a win for journalism writ large, I would say.
Bill D'Agostino, let's turn to another cut we have to chat about today. This is now a study that you put out late last week on CNN Newsnight's Abby Phillips. I guess the show is called, and you, well, that's the show. It's called CNN. I don't watch CNN Newsnight with Abby Phillips. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. If you've ever seen a clip of like Scott Jennings or Shermichael Singleton owning a panel of libs on CNN, it's that show. It's that show.
Gotcha. All right. So what was the study that you did? Tell us about it.
Well, yeah. So the whole show is panel only, and they always have a couple of conservatives on to make things interesting. And so she's been getting all of this, in my opinion, completely unearned praise for, wow, she's allowing conservative voices onto CNN. Like that's mm-hmm. phenomenal. Is CNN changing? No, they're not. And she deserves very little credit because she spends most of the show interrupting conservative guests and contradicting whatever they say or telling them stop talking about that. So, you know, when you have a sense like that and you get the sense that that kind of thing is happening and you've got unlimited Nexus transcripts available to you, you can very easily turn that sense into data, which is what I did. And it turns out that she interrupts conservative guests with the purpose of contradicting them 42 times as often as liberal guests. So that's it's not the balance that people are praising her show for.
Not exactly fair and balanced. Let's take a listen and a watch.
Obama used the IRS against his political enemies. That did happen. But he did.
He is not a citizen. If he were a citizen, I might feel differently. He's a guest in this country.
Okay.
It's my view.
So in other words,
it's the Trump administration.
But it doesn't matter.
Can I finish my friend's
statement?
I want to pause here.
And after the Floyd riot, policemen, in fear of their jobs many times and political coverage, pull back from their jobs, resulting in an increased level of homicide.
Listen, I got to stop you there.
Hold on, Ryan.
We got to stop you there because you're literally making a connection out of your own conjecture.
No,
you cannot.
It's a real thing.
That.
Look up the Ferguson effect. Look up the Floyd effect. It is a real term.
It's a real term.
I didn't make this up.
Invent a connection between two things.
Harry Enten's own numbers last week said 51% of people are supportive of ICE in their communities. There was a poll today reported on by Politico, Big Stack, saying 50% support Trump.
I understand what you're.
Policy.
Hold on.
Kamala Harris addressed the American Federation of Teachers and join them in opposing banning of books. And here's the book
in question. Sorry, are we talking in favor of banning books now?
OBJ actually flew the Fed chief down to Texas to his ranch and berated him because he was pissed off about some of his decisions.
And then what?
Let's remember.
And then what? And then what happened?
I want to make my point.
Finish your point.
Then
what
George
happened?
H.W. Bush.
But Share Michael, I'm going to pause you there.
He's a resident alien. He can be deported under U.S. law for... if the Secretary of State has any reasonable ground to believe he would have a potentially serious adverse foreign policy consequence. And you mentioned the student organization. The student organization
before you move on.
She's not a big fan of letting people finish if they're on our side of the political aisle, Bill D'Agostino.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it's basically the litmus test for is the point that you're making salient? Does it actually hurt a Democrat narrative on that show? Because if that is the case, then you can anticipate Abby Phillips jumping in right away and telling you, hey, cut it out. None of that on this show. I don't know. I mean, it's not exactly the most watched show on television. Definitely not even the most watched show on CNN. But given its relative prominence among conservatives, I think because of a lot of the clips that it generates, I felt the need to dispel the false sense that like, oh, hey, well, at least she's having conservatives on. And it's like, okay, sure. But you actually have to let them talk for that to count for anything. So,
yeah, there's that other part where you actually let them, you know, get a thought across. There's that. So, Bill, always a pleasure, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your week and we'll do it again next week. In the meantime, follow Bill on X at @band_Bill and check out the great work of the Media Research Center and newsbusters.org. Thanks, my friend.
Thanks a lot, Rich. Always good to see you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. Just a reminder, in the 5 o'clock hour, Gerald Posner is going to be here. And in addition to that, we'll have the announcement for our next Politics and Pints event. So we're really, really excited for that one. This is going to be a big night. So you want to stay tuned to make sure you can get your tickets, because we will let them go on sale as soon as I make the announcement. All right. Coming up, big Supreme Court ruling. What did it say? And why is CHOP in Philly in the news today? And why is it a national issue? We'll talk about all these things straight ahead. Don't go away.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Monday it is. Here we are. And I don't know when we're going to do Be Nice to Matt DeSantis Week, but I did see an article today regarding Elvis. So maybe think of Linda Kearns. Plus, I was talking about her yesterday, and I realized, Matt, it's probably better to do Be Nice to Matt DeSantis Week when you're back in studio.
Yeah, that works. I'll be back in studio probably beginning of October, I'm thinking.
So we get to kick the can down the road for at least a couple more weeks. So that's excellent. Good. See that? That's how we do it. No, because I think it's better if you're there. It'd be easier to keep you, to be nice to you, and I don't have to see you and remember that you're there. You know what I mean?
You'd rather be kind to me face-to-face than remote?
No, I just think it's harder to be nice to you face-to-face, so I want to make sure Linda's getting her money's worth.
Oh, that,
this
okay,
is
gotcha.
Easy.
That
I could be
sense.
Face-to-face. I could be nice to you when you're down the line. I forget you're even there. But if I have to look across the studio glass and remember that you're there, like tomorrow when I'm in studio, for example, then that's harder. And then Linda will really be getting her money's worth.
That's true. We don't want to shortchange Linda. We love Linda.
I do not want to shortchange your biggest fan, your only fan, Linda Kearns. So.
I have two fans. I have Linda and Minnie.
True. And Carrie's kind of a fan. You're like 2.5.
She like tolerates me, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is the bar so low now that we count that as a fan?
Well, I mean, I think technically most people would not. However, I'm just so desperate that I'm willing to count that as a member of the Matt DeSantis fan club.
Justin, what's the ruling on the field for that?
I mean, normally I'd agree in the negative, but mm-hmm. because he is desperate, I'll allow it this one time. One time. Sure.
Thank you, Justin.
Very nice of you, by the way. This one time. This one time.
And to be clear, if anyone else wants to join the fan club, you don't even have to like me. You just have to find me tolerable.
See
I'll
that?
Accept you. Yeah.
I think that that's very nice of you.
Thank you.
Now, what is cut number? I'm curious what cut number 16 is with Bill Maher and Cory Booker.
Oh, so basically no one found Cory Booker's engagement photos flattering, including Bill Maher. I've not seen one person, left or right, say anything positive about that collection that he released on social media. They're just bizarre. And also making it weirder is the fact that the woman he's engaged to looks exactly like Rosario Dawson, who broke up with him.
Yeah, I mean, this is creepy how much this woman looks like Rosario Dawson. And it's creepy how the photos, that goofy grin of his, and it's just creepy. Completely, by Spartacus Booker and the Tears of Rage band. All right, well, here's Bill Maher getting in on the action and making fun of him. Cut 16.
Well, after we congratulate Senator Cory Booker on his recent engagement, he has to explain why his engagement photos look like an ad for prescription drugs. Because these pictures don't make me think, great, now we can run for president without the stigma of being a bachelor.
They make me think, don't let moderate to severe ulcerative colitis stand in your way. Ask your doctor about Zerlaxia.
A ruling on the field is that it was an advertisement for beard cream. All right, coming up in 5 o'clock hour, Gerald Posner will be here, and we'll also tell you what our next, who our next Politics and Pints event is going to be, and when and where. So it's going to be a big 5 o'clock hour, 30 minutes of nonstop talk coming up straight ahead for you. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.